We as a society equate numbers with success. The larger the conference, the more successful we deem it. We are called to be led by the Holy Spirit, not by outcomes. If the Holy Spirit called us to put on this conference, then the outcome is up to Him if we have done our part. Being led by the Spirit often means we must not use the world's standards for success as our measuring stick. We must leave results to God. Our role is to obey. His role is to bring results from our obedience. Do I overly evaluate the pros and cons without consideration to what the Holy Spirit might be saying deep inside? As citizens of faith, let's see how we can be better problem solvers. Hey, Faith Finders, welcome to another episode, a bonus episode of the Big Bold Faith Podcast, a podcast dedicated to getting real, honest, and vulnerable when it comes to actively walking out our faith in modern day society. I'm so excited for you to be joining and listening today. If you know, last week we had spoke with Miss Judy Salinas, and this week is a bonus episode because it's my birthday, and I want to gift you guys with some knowledge and some insight as you guys go throughout your 2021 goals, vision boards, and everything else. So I'm happy for you to be tuning in. If you don't already do it, go ahead and follow me on Instagram. My personal handle is _BrittanyDurphy. And you can go over to our show notes on our website at bigboldfaith.com. We're accepting donations to support the ministry, to support the vision. I've already prayed that prayer, so I'm leaving it to God to do it. I'm acting in obedience. I'm acting on assignment versus my vocation. So lastly, if you haven't already reviewed, share this with a good friend, share it with your friends, your kin folks, your mama and them, go ahead and do that now. We love to hear how this is blessing other people's lives. You can even share your story over on our website of, you know, what is your I am story? How did you become who God has instructed you to do? But without further ado, let's pivot to part two of this discussion. Now we're starting part two with Joey Salinas. And I'm excited about this one too. The first one was so good. Judy had me all emotional and in tears.
She tends to do that.
I don't get in tears. I'm a cold-hearted slayer. Like, it's not happening. But, you know, the topic that we're going to discuss, we had talked about forgiveness with Judy. And so with you, it's kind of finding this assignment over your vocation. You're a life coach, so I'm certain that everyone, including myself, has this day-old question, like, God, just give me my purpose. God, give me direction. Give me a vision. Give me all the things. And so often I feel like even with that, we get distracted in being just present with God. And God's just like, child, just look at what I have you doing right now. And then you eventually get to your purpose. You'll eventually get to that. But I'm going to start. But like I started with Judy, because I think you were in the room, but I didn't get your full decree and declarement that you're going to be 100% honest. You're going to give us all the goods of figuring out, like, how do I get to my purpose? Like, is my purpose, my calling or my vocation? So let's just start with your testimony of like your I am story of how you came to find God or God found you and rescued you. And it can be a high level. It doesn't have to be super in the details, but I'd like to know a little bit of your backstory.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure you've heard a little bit of the background between us, but, you know, I got saved, really saved at 19. But even though I was saved, I struggled with the reality of who I was really, my identity, which I think is something that most people learn to discover on their walk with God. And so I feel like my testimony is that I found out that I was the son of God, that I found my identity, that I was no longer stuck in being an orphan in the spirit, because I had a good dad that worked hard, a mom. They weren't believers. They didn't fundamentally train me or teach me or bring me into that avenue. And so I learned through the hard knocks of life really who I was. And when I share with people what my testimony was, although it may have not come off of drugs or these crazy lifestyles, the reality is that I had to find out who I was. Yeah. And when I found out who I was, it did something to me. Something shifted inside of me. Something changed inside of me that I can't put my finger completely on, just to say that I realized that I wasn't just some lucky guy that got to call God mine, but I was somebody that He chose. And my foundational scripture that I tell people is my testimony scripture is John 15:16, where Jesus says that you did not choose me, but I chose you. And I called you and I have appointed you to go and bear fruit and that that fruit would remain, and that whatever you ask me in my name, I'll do. And when I found out that I wasn't just fell into God's arms, but that I was chosen, it changed something for me. You know, I'm a big sports guy. I love sports, grew up playing sports. I'm all about it. And any sport, it doesn't matter. We'll pick up something. Judy and I were both like this growing up. We both loved sports and we were decent athletes at almost everything we did. But, you know, I remember one of the things I wasn't good at, the best at, is basketball. And I remember being on the basketball court, you know, like middle school, and I was more athletic than a lot of the kids, but I wasn't the best shooter. And so I wasn't always picked first. I wasn't quite picked last, but I wasn't picked first. And you know that feeling you get? I don't know if you're in grade school, whatever, in any kind of circumstance.
I'm not like in grade school now, but I still have that feeling.
Come on, when I get picked. We get that feeling, right? So you're sitting there and there's this anxiety, and then you're not picked first, and you're not picked second, and you're not picked third. And then all of a sudden, there's this shame or this feeling that you get that you weren't picked. And then you just happen to land on a team or on a project by happenstance because you're the last man standing. And I felt like that was the beginning of my journey of Christianity. I said, yes, I made it on the court and at least I got picked, but I wasn't chosen. Mm. And when I came to the realization that I was chosen, I remember it was probably, now it's probably been about 10 years. So I was already saved for, you know, 9 years, but it took me 9 years being saved to discover that I was chosen. And it was like all of a sudden something clicked. This anger that I had inside of me left me. This frustration that I carried went away. This insecurity at the main level of it started to be pulled off.
Yeah.
And so my testimony is that I went from realizing that I didn't fall into salvation and I'm just lucky enough to make it, but that God chose me.
Amen. That's such a powerful story. And I love how you said, like, just kind of finding your identity, because I feel like a lot of us are lost in the identity of the world. And so we so often grasp to that and we kind of believe in God, but it's not like we have our full identity and whatnot into Him. So then when the whole world shuts down and you're locked at home and you have nothing else to do, things start to get lonely and things start to get very silent. And so you're like, what do I believe in? What is going on? Who do I believe in? And do I really believe in God or not? And so I thought last year was my best year ever because I got a chance to be still. I got a chance to see if what I believed is what I really believed, because a lot of people were going through things. And so, it's so powerful that you mentioned that. So I do appreciate that. So you told us about your I Am story, but this personal story about, again, trying to identify and navigate your assignment versus your vocation. And before we jump into that, how about you define what assignment and vocation is? Because everyone kind of makes up their own words, purpose, calling, job, 9 to 5. I don't know. My clock in, clock out, whatever you want to call it.
That's right.
But, you know, speak to me where, you know, the two delineation and difference for someone that doesn't really know.
Yeah, I'm going to make it very simple. And I work with people all the time to help them discover their purpose. Is your vocation is what you're made to do. Your assignment is what you're asked to do. Mm. And sometimes you get put on many assignments through your life because the goal was is to help these assignments form and show you, become like a mirror to your life to show you what you were made to do. You know, your job is something you get paid for, but your calling is something that you are made for. You get the revelation of your calling when you find out, what do people go to you for? What do people lean on you for? What do you do well? I think people overcomplicate it. And sometimes there's these fallacies that we think in our mind. And this, I think these are good because these go with the definition a little bit.
Yeah.
I want to give you some of my fallacies to your calling or your vocation versus your assignment.
Okay.
And I think one of them is really this, is that some people don't think that they have a purpose or a calling. They actually think that they weren't designed with one. Like somehow God skipped their design of what they were called to do because maybe they haven't arrived in it. They haven't had the revelation of it. And the second one is that it's too late in your life to identify your calling or your purpose.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I'm, you know, 40 or I'm 50 or I'm 60. I mean, I know people, I've worked with people, I've coached people that are like 55 years old and they finally have identified their calling because they finally accepted what they do well.
Yeah.
The third one is this, is that you can only be what your parents were. And that's a struggle, especially with us, those church folk.
Those PKs.
Those PKs. They, My mama was a PK. My daddy was a PK. My mom was a worship leader. I'm a worship. You know, that's a fallacy too. Sometimes that's the case, but sometimes the pressure of becoming something gets you to ignore what you were made to do.
Yeah.
And then the last one is this. This is a big one, and it's probably going to shake some people to their core, but this is my fourth fallacy, and this is the last one, is that you can be anything you want to be. That's a lie. That's a cultural thing that people are taught, that you can do whatever you want to do. I'm sorry. But, you know, besides Spud Webb, if I'm 5'6" and I cannot shoot that well, a dribble, I'm not going to be a basketball player. It doesn't matter how hard I try.
Yeah.
No matter how much I dream for it, it's not something that I was made to do. And so sometimes culture forms our belief system to try to be what our neighbor is, or to be what pop culture says we should be, mm-hmm. or what's trending at the time. But that's really a lie, and it's a deceptive tool to keep you from walking out your purpose.
Right. And so, you know, all these people that are like, you know, follow your heart, or follow your passion, right? I guess that's another one of them, of just kind of chasing mm-hmm. after the world and their beautiful schemes of marketing, I guess is the thing, how I like to look at it, because there's marketing for everything. So there's marketing for your purpose and marketing for your destiny as well. And, you know, that could be the devil's marketing plan of just being crafty, which is what he is. So if you were looking at it from a spiritual sense versus a more worldly pop culture, modern day sense of kind of looking at the two, I mean, I guess you could really be anything in either an assignment or a vocation, right? Assignment doesn't naturally mean that you have to be in the church, or you have to be making gospel music.
Correct.
Or that you have to be a pastor, or, you know, a prophet. So I guess for me, I think I've always struggled with kind of figuring out like, oh God, my assignment's too worldly for you. I know. You're the creator of heaven and earth, but it's just a little too worldly for you. I don't know if I can be in this space. And I guess I just have never been able to see clearly as far as like identifying the two of like, what mm-hmm. does that look like? And how do I know what I'm like, I may be interested in this, or I may be interested in that. And I think even going through the motions and kind of doing a lot of things to maybe figure out your assignment, and you tell me if that's wrong. But like, I think that we get so complacent, like, oh no, I don't do that. And God's like, I'm trying to open a door for you, but you're closing a door that's supposed to be your assignment because you're like, oh, I would never ... whatever.
Yeah. I love it. I mean, I can give you, I feel like the Bible is the main source, not just for spiritual, but for culture. It's shifted in. One of my favorite scriptures that really talk about this and to answer that question is Ephesians 3:20. Mm-hmm. And it says that, for we are God's workmanship. Mm. We're his, like, the things he put his hands on, and he designed it, and everything's completely different. Mm-hmm. Every different turn, every different personality trait, every different skill set. So he's like, hey, you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. So yeah, you're created in Christ. You're his workmanship. You're created in Christ for good works. It doesn't say good works of a pastor.
Yeah.
Good works of this, good works of that. That could be anything. Guess what? If you're amazing at writing, God's workmanship on you is the ability to write and create things with your writing. Yeah. And that is your good work to him. Yeah. It's who inside of you pushes it out of you, and who you reflect and give honor to, that shows you that it's in Christ. And so I think that sometimes even in the church, I get frustrated, you know, with this idea that people get saved and they think they have to be a minister.
Yeah.
And they think, oh, I haven't found my calling because I'm not a pastor yet, or I'm not ministering, or I'm doing that. You know, I tell you what, this is maybe a fact for people that need to hear it. Only 2% of people that are saved ever become paid clergy or full-time staff. And so if that shows you a definition of where we are today, that should show you a bigger definition of your life. Not because I'm saved does not mean the next step is to become a pastor, a minister, an evangelist, a prophetess, you know, an apostle. Really, it's to do good works. And you only know what's good works is when you start to do it well. And so when you start to do something well, that is the workmanship that God notices in you. I feel like even in that scripture, what Paul was telling to the church of Ephesus is because they were all trying to achieve something that their leader was doing, but God didn't call them to achieve that. He called them to just be them in the world, so that when the world looked at them, they would say, wow, that's good. Where did that come from? Oh, that came from my dad.
Right. And God can't bless you to be someone that you're pretending to be, right? So you can't be trying to walk around doing, acting, being someone else. And God's like, be unique, be the person that you are, paint with different colors. And so that people can like ask you, you know, why do you do what you do? And we all are supposed to account why, like you said, to our father, because of my dad.
Yeah. And, you know, I feel like it makes God so happy when somebody stops being somebody they're not. Mm. He's like, oh my God, I can see them. I could. That's Brittany right there. Like when she just did that the quirky thing or the really creative thing or how she did that thing with that event or this. I don't. That's. I knew that she was going to do it, and that makes him so proud. Like for me, I don't want my kids as a father. I have this unique ability to see it from a fatherly perspective. I don't look at my son and expect him to be my daughter.
Yeah.
I don't expect to talk to my daughter and expect her to carry my son as. It makes me the proudest, not when they've performed to become something that they're not. It makes me the proudest when they've embraced their personality, when they've embraced the things God's given them to do well, and when they're excited about it. That makes me the happiest. And I just think like, man, I'm an earthly dad that has flaws and mistakes, and I'm not very good at identifying things as fast as I would want to be, but God isn't. Like his ways are greater than our ways. His thoughts are greater than our thoughts. He knew it before you had a cell. People need to hear that. Before you had a cell, you had a purpose.
Yeah.
You were formed. You weren't in existence. Like you were formed, and you were formed around what you were destined to do.
Amen.
And so when you find that, it's like you found your form.
It is.
It's like you've identified yourself. You feel good in your skin.
Yeah. And it's such a piece. I've mentioned this previously, like just this podcast is a faith walk. I am an introvert. Mm-hmm. I'm an only child. I like to talk to myself, but I do not like to talk to anyone. I do not like to make myself known. I am okay with being the doo-wop girl in the back of the group. So when God had called me to do it, I was like, I guess so. And putting it all together, great. But through it, I've found a whole new kind of revelation. I've found joy. I've found peace in it. I've found so much greatness, like connecting with you and other podcasters. And then even through that, I've been writing. And that's been something that I would, like, I journal, but like journal is like, whatever. But writing is like, it's kind of taking over me. And so when people are like, oh, you could be a writer, I'm looking at you all like, no, I'm not going to be a writer. And now I'm starting to see that. And I'm like, oh, this isn't my lane at all. Like I manage events. I do things that don't pertain to this. And it's an act of obedience, right? I think that's what I was going to say.
That's right.
You have to be obedient to what God tells you, even though it doesn't look the way that you would imagine it or what you do in general. I think that that's the key for me. I say to my friend, all day I obey. Like that needs to be your mantra. Okay. Just yes. Okay, God. Yes. Here we are.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you think about it, one of the parables that I feel like I've learned to appreciate the most, because you talk to me, you know, about being fruitful. I think that when you're in your purpose, you're being fruitful. Like there's stuff coming out of you that happens. And I feel like this is really cool. So this might speak to somebody that just feels like, I've been so unproductive with life, or, you know, I'm 35 years old and I'm living at mom's house. I don't know which situation is, but I can say this. You know, parable of the talents of silver. I'm not going to preach on this, but I just want you to hear this. It's super
important. You can preach. I'm all okay with the good preach.
It said that the master gave to his servants a number according to their ability. He's spent the equal amount of time with all of his servants. They do pretty much the same job serving him. But when he gave them money, he says he gave to one, to another two, and to another five, according to their own ability. And I feel like God gives us things, talents, abilities, and he hands them to us and he says, I'm giving it to you according to your ability. And the key word I feel with in regards to finding out your purpose is a word called responsibility. And responsibility is simply this, a response to your ability. So do I want to find my vocation? Do I want to find my calling, my purpose? How have you responded to your abilities? Mm-hmm. Because it's when you respond to your ability that you really bring back fruit to God. It's really when you bring back fruit to your life. It's really when you bring back things that come out of your life that you couldn't have done. If you had to manufacture an ability, guess what? It's on you. It's on you, boy. It's on you, girl, to sustain that. But if it's God, saying, here, this is what I've given you. This is the measure I've given you. He expects it to be measured back to him.
Yeah.
Because you've responded to your ability well.
Well, and let's talk about responsibility for your vocation, not just your assignment, right? Because we get lazy and thinking like, well, this is just my 9-to-5. I just work at Walmart and I'm just a guest help or whatnot. God can't be using this for me for my assignment. And it's like, God is using you in that to see how responsible you are to your ability so that he can open other doors and mold and make you for your assignment that's supposed to come. And I think that that's detrimental to a lot of our walks of thinking we're so assignment driven that we miss out on the vocation and the people that are at our vocation that should be touched by us. But we're so like bitter and like, I don't need this. And God's like, I need you there so that you can spread the gospel to the 3 or 4 people that don't believe. And then I'm going to also open up the assignment, but you have to be responsible for both. So
that's right. Yeah. That's right. You do. You know, I have experience with that. My wife and I, we were youth pastors / children's pastors for like 8 years in the beginning of our, you know, being saved, you know, maybe 3 or 4 years after we were saved, we went into that season and we loved it. We were passionate about it. Still to this day, we love youth. We love kids. We love young adults and ministering to those groups. And during that whole time, I was working in a vocation. I was working in a couple different jobs and things that God's called me to. What I found was is God's so sneaky. You know, he's Jehovah sneaky. He gives you things. He gives you these little things that you may see as your 9-to-5, but they're developing characteristics like your hand. And that one job was developing your thumb, and that other job was developing your finger. And at the end of the day, and at the end of your life, 15 years later, when you maybe when you started to discover your calling, you figured that God gave you a functioning hand to work with.
Whoa.
But you were criticizing that forming of that thumb. You were criticizing that forming of that thing. I didn't know that I was going to come into being a business coach and life coach. I do more of the business side now. But he put me in an environment, American Express, where all I did was talk to CEOs all day and CFOs. And I didn't know why. I didn't know why he did that. I was like, oh, great, makes good money. And I just, it passed me by. And then he put me into pastoring and pastoring a church with a lot of business owners in it. And Judy and I did it, you know, for 3 years. It was an assignment at the temporary assignment of God. And we didn't know that what that he was doing. And he had us run a school and develop a school of ministry and develop curriculum from scratch. We didn't know why he was doing that, but it was all to get us to this place where we're running in stride with him, and he started to form his hand inside of our life. And then we realized all of a sudden, like, man, all those little miniature assignments were really a setup from God to form us well for our calling.
Yeah. And he's such a great God like that. Jehovah sneaky. I love that. I might have to add that.
Yeah.
Add that to my picture.
Yes.
But I mean, so, and I think also just discussing the possibility of having like multiple assignments too, because like you said, you know, there's people that are 50 years old or 60 year old, or I think also we get into this mindset, and of course it must be a cultural thing, that once you get to a certain age, like you no longer have to work or you no longer have to do anything, and you may not have to clock into a 9-to-5 or a vocation, or maybe you do. I feel like you should still pray about that. But then I feel like there's still an assignment that needs to be done. And so I think that you can have multiple assignments in your lifetime, but then also multiple assignments at one time, like you had mentioned. And so I don't know how you would give someone clear advice if they feel like being pulled by God, like God's asking me to do, you know, start a podcast and then start a YouTube channel and then start a conference and do all these things at once. You know, is there a way to balance it or to figure out when to do it? Or
I'm going to give you the spiritual answer and then I'm going to give you a practical business answer for who jumps across your podcast may not have that depth of relationship.
No, and we're here for all walks of life. So
absolutely. That's how we are. We get probably, you know, 20% people that don't believe or have a relationship with God. And maybe through the podcast, they become, you know, a believer, prayerfully, right? But I think what happens is we are so focused on what we're doing in a job or an assignment temporarily. And we pray about a calling or what that next assignment is. But what if we changed our language to say, God, not what am I assigned to, who am I assigned to?
Yeah.
Because sometimes he puts you in a place for a person. Mm. Sometimes he puts you in a place for people to pour into you. Mm-hmm. And so when we start to ask God, instead of what my assignment is, who my assignment is, and be completely open and be aware in your current job or role. And as you pray that, listen. And when you listen I always say this, we do a teaching on discovering how to hear God's voice. When you ask God to give you direction and you're quiet and there's something that pops up in your mind as a thought or a feeling, that's normally God speaking to you. But we are built to, you know, reason with it and work it out and find out our experiences instead of just being obedient. Mm-hmm. And so when we ask God, who's my assignment? Our perspective shifts and it no longer becomes about us. It becomes about what God wants for us and who God wants for us in that moment. And so when you have these multiple assignments going on, sometimes he has you assigned to multiple people at once because he's trying to pull something out of you that only he can get from you and for you. And so I would say that's my spiritual advice, is to switch gears instead of praying what my assignment is and second guessing yourself. Ask who your assignment is.
Yeah.
And that makes a completely different perspective. Practically, I tell people this: if you're learning something, you're in the right place. If you're doing something and you're not learning anything, then you need to ask yourself, did I miss a sign from God to move and transition? And there are jobs that are going to be a little bit more burdensome than others. That's just a fact of life. But what happens a lot of time is that if it's pulling on you all the time, it's either because your perspective is wrong or because you were out of season in that. You know, God calls us to times and season. He's a time and season God. He's not subject to time, but he pulls time and season for us to help us move on from things. And so we have to always ask God, like, what season am I in? What time am I in? Is this the right thing for me now? And for us, at least for us, when we pray that prayer, God has pulled us out of something, even when we felt good on the other side, because the season was up. We took over a church and it was falling apart.
Did you were telling me that
a little bit?
Yeah, you guys told me about that and like how God called you to be there for a specific time and gave you 3 check marks. Yeah. And once it was done, it was ready to go. Y'all were ready to go. Yeah.
And we didn't want to leave. Like, I mean, it was like, oh my God, it's functioning, it's growing, it's flourishing. We love the people.
This is it, God.
Your assignment's done. They are not who you're called to anymore.
Yeah.
And that's where that prayer comes up. Now you're focused. Now I'm pushing you into this direction. And so all these assignments work out good. I love this story. If whoever's listening can go back and, you know, read it later. But when Elijah goes to pick Elisha out, Elisha is doing his vocation. He's tilling a field with 12 oxen.
Oh, yeah.
12 means an apostleship. He's doing it at a high level. He's working 12 at one time. And Elijah comes and does what I like to call a drive-by cloaking. He sees him and he throws his mantle on him, you know, the calling of a prophet on him. Elisha doesn't come from a background of prophets. He doesn't come from a background of even people that are saved beyond his first. It doesn't go into depth of his lineage beyond his father and mother, but they didn't walk in a prophet a calling. He was just doing his vocation and he was focused on it, and he was doing it at a high level, and God interrupted the scene. And so I feel like when you just give what you have in you to what you're called to in the moment, God will always get you to your calling.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with you on that. You bring up so many valid points, so many just great things that I think that we just kind of miss out on, and just reshaping how we communicate to God and our questions, because our questions sometimes are just so self-centered and that's who we are as people. But to be self-aware, to be like, okay, God, maybe it's not what my assignment, but who is my assignment? And even when you said that, I kind of thought of it like, again, I don't know why marketing came into my head, but like everyone's out to find out like, who's your audience on Instagram and social media? Like you should talk to them.
Yeah.
And so in my head, it like kind of came to the same thing, like who is the person, but generalize them of who you should be out for your assignment for. And so it might be Joey, it might be Judy, but they all have this common thread. So those are the people that you should seek out for your assignment and whatever God has given you. So
that's my coaching approach. When people come to me with problems, as a coach, I solve problems. Like that's my goal, is to help them solve problems for themselves or institutionally or business. But it all starts with asking a question, turning inwardly to ask yourself, why am I asking that question? Why is it a problem? What am I really trying to achieve? And you have to ask yourself the right questions. And I think about Jesus. I make it very simple. I'm a simple guy. I need simple. I'm not a very, you know, profoundness comes as the simplicity is presented to me. But I look at Jesus when his disciples talked to him and wanted a direct question. I think it's about 65% of the time, scholars went and calculated it. 65% of the time, Jesus answered back with a question.
Yeah.
And so that tells me how I should be communicating with God. more times than often, instead of asking for something, I should be asking him a question that to show me how to do it or how to get it, because he's asking me back. You're like, God, how do I get out of this financial debt? And he's like, Joey, how do you get out of that financial debt? You know, God, what am I called to do? He's like, Joey, what do you do well?
Oh, you know? I'm here for it. Yes. So could you say, and maybe there's a small fraction of a number of people, can your vocation and your assignment be the same thing? Or do you ever get to a point? So, and I don't know if this is mm-hmm. true for you or any point in your mm-hmm. life, the two have crossed.
Yeah. I think that you will always have something that you're asked to do of God, mm-hmm. even in the mix of you doing what you are called to do from God. I think sometimes in the beginning, before you walk into it, you get asked to do more things than what you're called to do, because you're not prepared to walk it out with looking like Jesus and mm-hmm. you're doing. So I feel like there is going to become a point when you're asked to do less, when you're taken off of your calling less. But I think it's always going to be a part of your life. I think that there's like, here's your calling. And then inside of your calling, there's a little assignments and little things that God's going to ask you to do. And throughout that time, that's mostly to do his work on earth. But a lot of it is also to develop something in you. Mm-hmm. You do the work, you get developed. You know, it's like in the gym, like I lift the weight, I pay the membership, but it's really to help you walk out stronger. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think he ever stops developing us. And so because he never stops developing us, he's never going to take us off of something temporarily or in something that we're doing to help focus in on something. And this is what I found. Sometimes when I thought I was done doing something, mm-hmm. God pulled on me to do it and look at it differently. So when I took on this coaching, I was like, God, I thought I was, you called me to be a pastor, pastor of church. And I'm not saying that that's dead in the water or if that's not something he wants me to do. But he said, no. You coaching these business owners, you're pastoring them.
Yeah.
Different perspective.
Right.
It's not a different calling. It's like something that was hidden inside of this thing that I super generalized. And so we just kind of broaden our perspective. Maybe God hasn't, even what you're doing temporarily, there's just an expression of what you're doing on earth. Like, I think the big calling he calls us all to is the ministry of reconciliation. Talks about it in 2 Corinthians. The ministry of reconciliation is a ministry we're all called to. Mm-hmm. So I would argue to say that in everything in our life, we're bringing reconciliation back to God because we're showing people how God loves them, how God just pours excellencies into us and we pour it out in an excellent way and show the world to him that what we do, even if it's secular, in the secular world, we're doing it onto Christ. Yeah. And onto Christ is pointing back to the world saying, I'm the light. Ask me how.
And I had to recently just do that because my world is filled with virtual events. And so every morning that I wake up and I have to look at the lovely computer screen for 15 hours, I say, okay, God, it's not about me. Somebody here in this organization needs me. So let me be a light and just do what you called me to do. Cause I have all the skills. I'm a Jane of all trades, and not that I'm boasting or anything, but I'm like, okay, great. I can do that well, but that's not what I'm here for. That's not why you opened this door for me, God. I'm here for another purpose. And so I recently just had to come into that. I had a part-time job before COVID, and there was so many times I wanted to leave that job. I was like, I'm leaving. I don't need you guys. And God was like, I don't want you to leave yet. I need you there. And so I said, God, whenever you wanted me to leave, make it very clear and concise. And COVID happened. And that was what I considered clear and concise. It wasn't by my own, you know, bitterness. Like, I don't need you guys. I don't need to be here. And so as that season, again, I stopped asking those questions and started being like, okay, who here needs to hear a word from me? And it doesn't have to always be like, I went to church on Sunday and I read the whole Bible this week. I mean, it's just based on your actions. And Judy was talking earlier about just how your kids experience your actions more than what you say, really. Like, what does mom and dad do? Like, they're coming back to us and they're saying, oh, forgive us. Like, we messed up. And you're like, okay, that's weird for parents. Like, my friend's parents don't do that. And I think that that's strong. So when you're in your assignment, mostly, I keep going towards it, but like, is there a way to just be measuring your fruit, right? Because that's how you know if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing.
That's right. That's
just because God called you to do it doesn't mean you always do it well. And you know, you've done pastor, and I'm sure, I hate to say this, but I'm going to say it because we're honest and transparent around here. You know,
do
there's
it.
Some, there's
do
some,
it,
there's some wolves in sheep's clothing as far as those that are pastoring and leading people astray, whether knowingly or not. And so I'm like, how do you measure your fruit in your assignment so that you know that you're not being, you know, a wolf, I guess is the thing, if God called you to be that. And it doesn't have to be ministry. Again, like you're a business coach, so we'll take you for granted. You pastoring, quote unquote, these people, I'm sure some people want to hear about God and some people don't, but how are you measuring that to know that you're really walking in your purpose, your faith, and the calling of God?
Yeah. I feel like there's three types of fruit. You know, there's good fruit, there's bad fruit, and there's no fruit.
Yeah.
And the good fruit, if you think about it, and we're just going to be very practical, and I'll relate it to pastoring because you brought that up, is you could tell a good fruit is never by its outside. It's always when it's opened up.
When
it's opened up, you can see. And here's the thing. A good fruit, when you open it up, is not just taste the way it's supposed to, but it also has more seeds in it. And so I test my fruit as a pastor is not by how many people come to attendance, but it's when I look at that person's life or when they're doing life, they're developing fruit of their own. So I identify good fruit is when it's been duplicated.
Mm-hmm.
Adam was told to Eve, the first job they were given together, he said, be fruitful and multiply. Being fruitful is duplicating yourself. Multiplying is planting what was duplicated. And so I measure good fruit by what not just came out and is staying there, but now what have they done in their own life and challenging them to do it and not depend on me. I think as a pastor, if somebody comes to me for the same thing all the time, I haven't done my job. My job is to challenge them, to send them, and to bless them. Mm-hmm. And when they come back, it's to get the report of how it's gone. And sometimes you come back, it didn't go as effective as you want it. You pray for them, you coach them, you pastor them, and you send them out and you bless them again. And so I think sometimes we get caught in pastoring as it's about collecting, but it's not about collecting. Mm-hmm. It's about sending. And so I love it. I've always measured my life based on sending. Who have I sent? Who have I blessed? And who has done something and created something better than I have? If that hasn't happened in your life, I'm sorry, but you have fallen short to the calling of God on your life as far as being a pastor. And so, you know, some people would come and we'd work with them and they'd be like, I feel called to do this. And I might have felt my spirit, not what I think you're supposed to do. I didn't say that. Instead, I said, okay, did you pray about it? Yeah. Are you in agreement? Like if they're married with your spouse? Yeah. Okay, let me pray for you and I'm going to bless you. My job wasn't to manipulate them. My job was to come into agreement with them hearing the Lord themselves.
Yeah.
If I get up every Sunday and they clap and love every single one of my servants, I haven't done a pastoring. I've just been a very good communicator.
Yeah.
But if they are living their lives out like Christ would want them to outside of the four walls, I've had good fruit.
Great. And you said to send them. And so I'm looking at one of the verses I pulled. I think it's not by accident. So in Luke 10:1-12, it says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, in every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And it continues to go on. And so you just saying that obviously is a confirmation because I prepared this before, but that's such a great thing of, I love that analogy of like, not just the fruit on the outside, right? You have to open up the fruit and then the seeds that are inside. And I talk about seeds all the time. I gave Judy a couple seeds. I was like, it's not about gems over here. Gems are temporal. Seeds, they continuously plant for generations and generations and they're harvestful and fruitful. So it makes so much sense of what we're really called to do. And I love that you use that and you're not waiting for people to just, I don't know. I feel like sometimes you guys as pastors can just be like, everyone's just trying to communicate through God, through you, and then from God. Like, what did God tell you that I'm supposed to be doing?
Absolutely. You know, it's funny you said that. I ask that question all the time. People come to me, you know, as a pastor, and I have a lot of people that come to us as pastors still, like, yeah, you're my pastor, you'll always be my pastor. But the way they do that is they come to me and they'll say like, hey, I really want to know what to do here.
Yeah.
And I never give them the answer. I mean, that might sound bad, but I feel I have to ask them, how have you stewarded that question? How have you asked the Lord? And what did he tell you? What unctions are you feeling?
Mm-hmm.
What things have you either passed by and denied? And what things have you still not heard from yet? And I ask those questions because I want them to have that relationship with God, because I am not that person that they need to have a relationship with like that. Mm-hmm. I'm there to provide care as a pastor. Maybe there's a pastor's listening. I want to tell you, your number one job is not to be the best preacher in the world. Your number one job is to provide care for the sheep.
Yeah.
So my best way to provide care for them is just leading them in the pasture, not picking them up and walking them down the pasture. Not saying, hey, you go down the pasture yourself and I'm going to sit here and I'll make sure that you went off of our, not a big deal to me because there's 10,000 of you and whatever the case is. My job is to provide care for you. It's to look out, it's to watch, to do what David did. He looked out and when a sheep was getting grabbed, he killed the lion, he killed the bear, but he put the sheep back. He didn't carry the sheep for life. He took them out of the mouth and set them back on the track because they have to find their path. They have to walk it themselves. All my job to do as a pastor is say, yeah, what do you think? Is this the right path? Mm-hmm. Where are the other ones heading? You know, so it's really providing that care, but it's really giving them the tools to seek God for themselves.
Mm-hmm. And I think we lose or have lost that so many times that we become so focused on religion, so focused on following all of the church rules. And it's really mm-hmm. like at the end of the day, if the churches all do shut down, but I think that's why I'm so open to other people of other denominationals. I know that we do non-denominational churches, but I'm curious to people that are Catholic. I'm mm-hmm. curious to other people that share the same faith of God. I know we have different denominations. We believe in certain other things and how it happened, but I'm like, your faith and relationship with God is so personal. And so outside of the church walls, what do you believe in? What was your experience with God? You're a person at the end of the day, whether you're Catholic, you're Mormon, I'm called to love you as well. So me looking at you like, oh, you're part of that denomination. And I mean, I believe when Paul was out with the churches, I think that they were kind of choosing sides too, but I could be wrong with that as well. So I just think of it like that. Like, why are we taking sides? We all believe in Jesus. Like, okay, your story's a little bit different than ours. It's like playing, you know, telephone. Like, you forgot one word in the Bible, but we believe a totally different.
That's right. I tell people this, you know, God put me in a season at one job where I was surrounded by only Mormons. My leader was a Mormon. My peers were Mormons. Those who I was leading were almost all Mormon. And I asked God, I said, they know I'm a pastor because I was, at that time we were youth pastors. And they know that. I don't hide it. I live my faith out in my walk. I don't go announce, hey, I'm a pastor. But it's just the things that happen. They come out of your life. They feel the way you talk, the things you mention. It should be that way, that they see that and it's evident. But I was like, why am I surrounded? He said, because I want to show you how to do community and faithfulness well. They do that well.
Yeah.
So sometimes I can embrace what they know without attaching to their eschatology and just learn how to do something right that they do well. I have really good friends, really, really dear friends for over 20 years at Catholic. They were born Catholic. They went into the non-denominational church. They got filled with the Spirit. And then God called them back to the Catholic Church to teach the Catholics how to operate in the gifts of the Spirit.
Wow.
So we can't judge it.
Yeah. No. You know? And that's what we're out here doing, pointing fingers and thinking that we've got it all together with our rules, which happened during Jesus's day too. They were just pointing at each other. So I know that we kind of got off topic with that, but I think that it's important to discuss as far as like us just finding, you know, our assignments. I mean, what if God called you as your assignment to be like Abraham and to go into a foreign land, right? Go into a foreign church or go into a foreign something that you weren't really sure to do. And that's what God is calling us to do. So why would you say that, you know, a lot of us are struggling to find or going through the motions? Like, what would be the one thing that you hear? I'm not sure if you're a youth minister, or your youth adults that are probably now like grown adults at this point.
They're like 30 now.
You know, what are they struggling with that you hear the most of? And I don't know if people come to you and whether, you know, in your youth days or in your coaching, is there one particular thing and a theme that you hear overall with trying to figure this out?
I think because everybody wants to have arrived and their distorted belief system of arriving somewhere or some picture of what arriving there looks like, they've been let down. And so they live in a habitual state of disappointment. And so I like to tell them and advise them, why don't we, instead of pointing a picture or getting an image of what it would look like to arrive at the place to do what you were called to do, why don't we ask God how he sees us and what we're doing? You know, how does that look completely different when we say, pray to God, hey, God, how am I doing right now? Am I on track? So instead of asking or getting disappointed by not arriving yet, why don't we ask God, what does it look like from your perspective? Am I on target?
I feel like you just took a stab at some people's vision boards this year, just saying.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's okay. Vision's good.
No, I'm kidding.
People will perish. You know? But I love this. You know why it says, you know, in Habakkuk 2, it says, write your vision, make it plain on tablets.
Yeah.
Is because your vision needs to be in front of you.
Yeah.
But you need to be present so that you don't try to live in disappointment that your vision has not come to pass.
Yeah.
So you have to be future driven, but you have to be present focused. And that's how you get to where you're supposed to be on time, or even quicker than maybe you're supposed to get there, is when your drive is, I know what God wants for me. I know these things. And let me just tell you, I feel like I need to relieve some religiosity or some spirits of religion by saying it's not bad to want good things. It's not bad to want to be have your debt paid off. It's not bad to want to have your dream house. God's not there spanking you for wanting that stuff. Instead, he wants to give you the desires of your heart when the desires are yoked in him, where they're connected to what he would want for your life. And so it's good to put those things on a future. It's good to write them down, but it's also good to be present focused so that you don't miss things that God might have you do, assignments on your way to your future, so that you get there appropriately. And so if you just put that thing on a paper and you stare at it every day, and then you're just so depressed because you're not there yet, obviously you're not going to do anything. You know what I found for me, and I kind of just be real in this by saying, sometimes when I make a list of things that I want to do and I just look at that list all day long, I get depressed and I get frustrated because I'm not where I want to be yet.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in my coaching business and I moved out from getting paid full time and having benefits and insurance. And I wasn't becoming rich as a minister, but I stepped out in faith. And can I tell you, I had the pressure of being a provider. I had the pressure of creating stuff. My kids go to private school. All those things are in my head. And so when I sit there and I bask on, I have not arrived at where I thought I would be, or where my future, or where my planner said I wanted to be, my vision board said I wanted to be, I actually become less productive now.
Mm-hmm.
So God wants us to notice they're there, but he wants us to be present focused so that we don't miss the path and the turns on how to get there appropriately.
Yeah, that's just so enlightening. Because for me, like you had said, the vision board, like don't just sit there and kind of just like, that's all you're doing all day, is you're constantly kind of, I would say idolizing, but I guess in the sense where you're just like, I want this, I want this. And for me, I had to step off of social media, I don't know, 2 years ago, and I tried to join back, and now I'm still kind of feeling a little bit overwhelmed. And everyone that knows me is like, I don't think that that's where God has called me to do. I'm consciously present, but I'm comparing myself that I haven't arrived, that you guys know what it is to be, you know, a podcast and to have social media and to keep up with the times and trying to push and do all the content and everything. And it's like, it's a whole thing. And I don't care if you have an automatic poster or what, there's still the content that you have to come up with. And you're like, that's God, right. I just wanted to record for you. I didn't sign up for all this extraness.
Yep.
So just understanding that and seeing like, okay, so yes, you can have a vision, you can make it plain, but you know, kind of being present and not putting a clock on what God is giving you and the promises that he's giving you, because we all know in the Old Testament that there were, I don't know, I felt like decades before what God said and it actually became true.
Yeah.
You can look at Abraham, Sarai, like all of those. So,
Yeah. You know, this is what happened to the Israelites coming out of exile, is they were delivered from Egypt.
Yep.
And they were told, you're going to the promised land. So they're like, promised land, promised land, promised land. They're used to having an attachment, a yoke, a leather yoke with a chain around their neck, serving and working all day. And they got freed and they walked across a river by a miracle of God. Maybe somebody listening, you had the miracle happen and now you're not in captivity of something you were, but there's this word on your life that says, oh, the promise is there. Your vocation is there. Your assignment is there. It's over there. The promised land's there. But what happened with the Israelites is they stopped being present and they started complaining that the promise wasn't manifesting.
Yeah.
And so they became so promise focused that they lost their present focus. And what should have only taken 40 days took 40 years. And then the ones that were completely dismantled and disheartened and depressed and downsought and all those things, they lost their lives on the way because they stopped being present focused and they didn't stay on assignment.
Do you think that's so, still current for today? I love how you brought all that together, because you said the yoke thing, and that was a revelation for me. So I appreciate that, because I don't think I thought about it like that. I knew that they were enslaved, but you have to really kind of study to go back. But do you think that that's still present today with us as believers or non-believers, that we get into this, not complacency, but also complainingness of just doing whatever we do to get lost in our present moment of what God has given us.
Absolutely. I mean, we did a podcast on it, we did two episodes of it called The Thieves of Joy.
Yes. And I just listened to it.
We have to have joy. Yeah, we have to have joy.
Yes.
But one of the thieves of joy is comparison. And anytime you get your eyes off of being thankful and grateful for where you're at, you will always, there's no middle ground here. I feel like people need to hear this. There's no middle ground with this. There's gray areas and everything, but there's no gray area in this. When you are not thankful, you are complaining. I'm not thankful, but I'm just existing. There's never existing when you're a child of God. There is thankfulness or there's complaining. You can go back and look at the last year of your life, the last relationships you went through. And what you're going to see is if I wasn't thankful for it, I was complaining about it.
Yep.
And so you have to be content. That's the key. That's the key. Being content in what you have, even though you have not arrived, and your contentment keeps joy intact. And joy intact gives you the fuel to move to your destiny faster or on time of what you're supposed to.
So could you give us an example of, and it could be any example of like fully being content, because I think I struggle through this of saying like, oh, I'm content with this, but I want more. And I don't know if that's the middle ground. That's no lukewarm Christians over here, but not sure where I fall. So if I'm like, thanks God for the job, but I still want more responsibility, or, you know, you said it's okay to want something. How do I know where I'm at or where I fall on the spectrum of things?
Yeah. So contentment, let's define contentment a little bit. Contentment is not complacency.
Okay.
So I think sometimes we can confuse it as I'm content, so I'm satisfied. Being content is not satisfied. Being content is saying, I know that I'm not where I used to be, which is awesome. And I'm thankful for where I'm at. That's contentment. Like if we were to simplify it down to its molecule level, it's knowing that you're not where you used to be and being thankful for where you're at, but striving for what you need to get to. And so you can be content on the way to getting to that next thing. And so like what that might look like, and I'm just going to, I'll share one of my examples. When I started and I had zero clients and I got my first client, and you know, I went from, I'm just going to be super real. Okay. Hopefully they're like, they don't like this. I went from, you know, both of our, my wife, she didn't make a lot being part-time. I didn't, but then from making like $6,000 a month regularly to having that. And when we said jumped out in faith, I went from $6,000 to zero.
Wow.
I had no clients, nothing going on.
Yeah.
Barely little savings, hardly anything at all. And I got one client and I said, oh God, yeah, thank you for one client. It took me about 5 days after I realized I wasn't making any money. And I was like, oh yeah, I got one client. And then it took me about another week to get another client. And for a moment, I took my eyes off of Christ. I stopped being content. And I started saying, God, I thought I stepped in faith. Like I was expecting, like I was going to jump out and there was going to be boatloads of people coming to me.
Yes.
Like what's going on? And so I started moving from out of contentment into complaining. And so I started working harder, but not being present and content enough. And so my work was in vain.
Wow.
And so I took a step back. I took a breath. Mm-hmm. Some of that help comes from my wife praying for me too, you know, and I'm being real.
And that's what she's supposed to do. Oh, you guys are helping each other, being a helper. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. And then I changed gears. I said, man, thank you for my two clients. They're awesome, by the way. They're awesome. And then immediately God started showing me the next thing. The next client came in. The next thing started going. And then he started giving me ideas about launching other things. And then the fishing reel turned into a net. That is how you're content. Thankful that I'm not where I used to be.
Amen.
And I'm thanking you for where I'm at, but I'm not complacent. I still have strategies. I still have stewarding. I still have things I need to do. So you can be planning while you're content.
That's so good. I needed that. I've been complaining. I've complained my way through some things.
Oh, I've done it. Hey, you know what? Nobody has to teach you how to complain. You come out of the womb knowing how to complain.
Yeah.
Mama thirsty, mama hungry, mama wet. And it just goes into, daddy, I'm not satisfied with what I'm doing. Mommy, I'm not, you know, we change our direction of who we're complaining to. But in essence, we're born with the ability to be strategic complainers.
Yeah, we totally are. And so I think I had to have the thought in Revelation the other day of like thinking of literally where I came from. And there was a point and season in my life where I was working 3 jobs all at once, and I would serve on Sundays at all 3 services. So it was like Monday through Friday, again, not boasting, but I was like, oh, wow, like where I'm at right now versus where I was, I'm over here kind of still complaining like, oh my goodness, God, I was working like 24 hours and serving 3 services and would come home and just be like, okay, God, we got through this week. We're going to get through the next week. And I'm here for you. And I was in such a different season. My heart posture was different. And now I'm on the come up, or I leveled up.
Come on, level up.
I've kind of got, you know, a little bit of complaining in me. So just to kind of wrap up, one practical tip that someone can take away today as far as kind of deciding between their assignment and their vocation, or anything practical that you would just give as an advice for anyone just kind of struggling of like, okay, I think I'm supposed to be doing this, I'm not sure, or I think I heard God, or I don't know, anything that your great wisdom can give us.
Yeah, absolutely. And I try to keep it to 2 things, very simple, I think. As number one, follow what you do well.
Yeah.
If you're doing something well, stick doing it. I call it my investigation. If I don't know what I'm doing well, investigate. Ask people around you. Hey, what would you say I do well? Mm-hmm. What would you say was a strength of mine? And follow that. Because when you follow that, you're actually following what you were designed to do. And so that's one aspect. The second thing is never try to push something that's meant to be pulled. You know, there's an old song that King and Country used to sing, pushing on a pull door. Mm. And so if you spend all your time trying to shove open a door that's meant to be pulled open at the right time, you're never going to get anywhere. And so go to the area that you're moving through, I guess, with less energy. Mm-hmm. Because when you're doing what you're supposed to do, it takes less energy.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean it's not hard work. It does not mean it won't take time. It just means it takes less out of you. And so follow what takes less out of you and what you do well, and you'll be on the right path.
Taking a note.
So like
that.
You're good at certain things that you're really good at, and you know what they are. And so you could just keep doing them. And then when God shifts gear, he would bring something else up that you do well. It doesn't mean you don't have to learn how to do it a certain way or a certain protocol, but you're going to do it, and it's not going to take a lot of your energy doing it. I mean, you could probably do what you do for 15 hours a day and go sit back on the couch and feel good and fine that you didn't do it. But you could be doing something for 2 hours a day that you weren't called to do and feel completely exhausted.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so think about it from your energy levels too. I always tell people this, like, somebody last week said, you know, I don't really know if I'm supposed to be doing this, and it makes good money, but I feel like I'm not supposed to be doing it. And I said, how's your energy? And they like, I'm great. I feel good. I said, after an 8-10 hour shift, how do you feel? I feel fine. I'm hungry, of course, but I feel fine. And I said, great. I said, then you're probably heading in the right direction. Mm. If you were doing something for half the amount of time and you felt exhausted, that naturally means that it's taking your flesh more to do it. Mm. And you're going to feel it.
Yeah, no, and that's important. Again, I'm just bringing relevancy, and you're talking all my language, because I think it was last week. I don't know. This is the reason why I didn't feel well this week, but last week I worked a good, I don't know, maybe 100 hours in 1 week. And so my eyes got taken off of my assignment, and it took a lot of energy out of me. And I wasn't the person that I normally am. And I'm usually a pretty bubbly and cheerful person normally. So if I'm not, check on me. But it just took a whole lot out of me. And you saying that is just a confirmation of like, there's certain jobs that I should be taking. And so, yes, God has given me this gift and this vocation to do well. But then even in that, I've got to be mindful of like, not every job that I take, I need to take. Like, there's some that I should and some that I don't. And managing that and figuring out, you know, what to do. I'm self-employed. So it's like, yes, God gives all of these opportunities. Doesn't mean that I'm supposed to take all of them. I need to still kind of be decisive with the Holy Spirit of which ones to take. Mm-hmm. And that's hard for me. That's hard for me to be like, yeah. God, is this the one? I don't know.
Yeah. Sometimes a strategic no opens up more yeses. And if we thought about, man, what should I say no to? I feel like I'm supposed to say no to that. Your no opens up several more yeses. And so
I know, but I don't know what yeses of those am I supposed to take.
Yeah.
In a season, and this could be your season of kind of, you know, I guess waiting on your assignment while you're in your vocation, what would you So I say sow, water, plant, weed, and prune. So the sow would be what habits or things that you thought you should have done or would have done in that season.
In the season of sowing, I would say I would invest in my strengths. Uh-huh. Invest in what I already do well. Sometimes that means monetarily invest in something that I already do well to get even better at it. Mm-hmm. And that's what I sow. I don't ever sow into something I don't do well.
Okay.
Sometimes people spend so much of their money and time sowing into something that they're trying to turn a weakness into a strength. That's just not God's plan for your life.
Yeah.
He's not made to make a turn one of your weaknesses into a strength. He's meant to turn your strengths into stronger strengths. And in your weaknesses, His grace shows up to be sufficient.
Yes. Come with it. If you were to water, so I look at watering as being kind of the nourishment, right? Because everything requires water. We are nourished inside and out, you know, the living word and the water. So what would you have added more to during that time? So you talk about like focusing on your strengths, but would there have been something additional that you would have added to, I guess, your plant food mix of watering?
I would say thanking God specifically. That would be my watering. You know, when we're grateful for what we have, it's like gasoline on the fire of your life.
Yeah.
And so I would say I would add more thankfulness. You're never going to bankrupt God or make God frustrated with hearing thank yous. You know, He likes to hear that you're grateful for what He's given you. And so I would do more of is thank you. Have you ever told somebody thank you for something and it made you feel bad or it made you feel ugly? Never.
No. Yeah.
Never. Even if you didn't fully mean it. Mm-hmm. It always makes you feel a little bit better because that's what you were designed to do. You were designed to worship, which is your thank you.
Yeah.
You were designed to do, which is your ability. So, yeah.
Worship, praise, and thank God in advance too, right? Before the expectations, knowing that He's, again, sufficient and is the provider of all things. And then planting, I look at as far as like, where should you have been still? You know, sometimes as a plant, you just have to be still and just wait until you can grow inch by inch. Or as I always like to say, like a bamboo overnight, you sprout up 6 feet. So where would you have been still?
I would say being accountable to somebody with where you're at.
Yep.
That's planting. It's healthy to be accountable. And I feel like when you tell somebody and you leave somebody permission to speak directly into your life, to also, you know, not tell you what you want to hear, but tell you what you need to hear. That's where you plant. It's like, for me, it's like when somebody's planted, like a gardener, they dig something deep and then they drop that inside of it. And that's accountability. Accountability digs deep and plants you.
Yeah. That was good. That was good. Mm-hmm. And then weeds, habits or distractions that you would have removed in that season. I actually talked about this earlier, that weeds are only really considered weeds because they're out of place. If you were to take that same weed and put it by itself and put boundaries around it, it would be considered a plant. So I don't know if you knew that, but it's only really considered a weed because it's competing with the other weed or plant in this instance. So something in your life that needed its own separate ground that needed to be just out of that season or, you know, that distraction.
Not fighting for my circles changing. So when friendships shift, you know, that happened big time for Judy and I, you know, stepping out of the church that we belonged to, we pastored, you know, and relationships changed. Mm-hmm. And you didn't know why. And you're like, oh my God, this, you know, it's like, why do people turn their back on me? They said they were for me and now they don't talk to me. And so sometimes I think what I would weed out or place in a different direction is not fighting for relationships that aren't in season.
Ooh, okay.
And so I would pray for God to identify my true circles and not invest too much time on the circles that are changing.
Yeah, that actually goes into my next question, which is like, what fruit, good or bad, from a previous season that you were still kind of holding on to? And so I think that we can get complacent and like, okay, God showed up this way or God did this in that season. So in this season, this should still stay the same. That friendship should still stay the same, even though God's asking me to do a new thing. So I don't know if those two kind of coincide with each other, but I think it's...
I think they do, but kind of add another element to it is not try to, and I think you talked a little bit about this, but not comparing yourself to your last season, what you went through, what you experienced, and not putting an expectation on yourself that is unattainable and unreachable and unreasonable. I think that's something that, you know, can go into that mix too, that I would have done a little bit differently.
Wow. No, all good points. All good points. I feel like I feel like I need my own one-on-one with you and book some time with you, because I'm like, oh, you're just calling me out. You're coming for my neck today, Joey. So I appreciate you and Judy so much. I want to thank both of you guys for just coming on and just building community with me, telling your story, giving us seeds of generations to just plant, sow seed, and just everything of just kind of following and figuring out this life of faith, trying to be a citizen of faith. I don't know where that came to in my spirit, but I just thought like, we should be citizens of faith, right? You want to be a citizen of your home country, right? So why wouldn't we want to be a citizen of heaven, a citizen of faith, which is that direct connection with God? So I do appreciate everything that you guys have taken the time to just share with us. And if they want to learn more about YouTube, where can they find you? I've already said that you guys have an amazing podcast that drops every Wednesday. So if you're not listening here on Wednesday, you should go over there, because I secretly binge all of their stuff and I'm like, okay, I'm here for it. Wisdom Wednesdays. I just love that. So I'm happy to see that your ministry is flourishing and the great work that God is doing for you. But furthermore, where can they find you on social media and such?
Yeah. So, I mean, on Instagram, I'm at joey.a.salinas with my last name. And then I do have a Facebook, a coaching Facebook page and a personal one. The coaching one is You're Worth It Coaching and Consulting. But we also have the You're Worth It Ministries. And then I'm on Twitter as well. You can just look me up on my name and you'll find me on there, Joey Salinas. But yeah, and we have a website, youreworthitnow.com.
Yeah, and I'm going to put all this in the show notes for you guys, but just wanted you to guys kind of be able to follow them around. They're giving great word, great wisdom, great just truth about this walk of life that we're all going through in all walks and all seasons. So don't think that you never have it figured out. We're all doing the same. So if anyone seems like they have it together, they probably don't. But can I ask you to pray us out?
Absolutely. Okay. Father, we thank you so much for every listener listening. And thank you for bringing such a safe place that Brittany is. The environment that she's created of authenticity is giving people new eyesight, new light. And I pray, God, that whoever finds this podcast, that they would believe in themselves, that they would believe that you've designed them, you've chosen them, you've set them apart for a specific design. Before they had a cell, before they had a breath, before they were planned by their parents, they had a plan from you. And so, God, we speak to existence everything that they need. And we speak out everything that distracts them and would change them and would deter them from their path with you. And we thank you. We thank you in advance for everything in Brittany's life. I just saw this beautiful picture of Brittany with a building. And it said Big Bold Faith on it. And it was really an encouragement, a foundation for those who lost faith and those who came to partner in faith. So I feel like what not just you will have, but your listeners will have, is they will become partakers in the faith that God has for them and partners with other people in encouraging faith inside of them. So God, we bless this time together, and we know that one moment with you can change our life, but partner us with the right people so that we can do this life together. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Well, that wraps up our episode for today on the Big Bold Faith Podcast. Remember that faith comes by hearing the word and also living it out. I hope that something from today's message resonated with you and has inspired you to do a faith check, to be open and honest of where you really are with your faith, and to be intentional on what steps you need to take to be the very best self God has called you to be. I mean, that's where we're all trying to get to at the end of the day, right? To find our purpose and to finish our race on time. If you want to hear more and were encouraged today, make sure you leave a comment and subscribe for future episodes and share it with a really good friend. I'm so excited to be sharing this word with you all, and I'll be praying for you all. Until next time, may the Lord be with you. May his face shine upon you and his glory endure on you and your family forever. See you next time.